Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our text for this, the third Sunday after Epiphany, is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark. And we're going to read from the first chapter in that Gospel, verses 14 through 20. That's Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20, where we read in the name of our Lord. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, give us this understanding of your gospel. That, Father, you simply summon us out of your grace, and you freely bestow your salvation upon all who will come. Grant us, too, Father, to be found to be fishers, to bring in those that you welcome so openly, and that we, too, would be so open in welcoming. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. And this is one of those texts that begins with one of those verses that everybody just kind of blows through without really paying attention to what it says and don't really understand the weight of it. As this text begins and Mark begins to talk about this, he has encapsulated what we read so much in the other Gospels. Of concerning the baptism of Jesus, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, and understanding the significance of all of this. That now God has been reunited with humanity. That now the restoration that was necessary for Adam has now been granted through Jesus the Christ. And what we don't understand is that ended the ministry of John the Baptizer. John was Old Testament. And John was an Old Testament preacher. And John could only simply summon people to repentance, but he couldn't do anything about it. All he could do is to mark them out in their repentance. But John did not possess the solution, which is why John said things like, he must increase, I must decrease. And you notice that this is exactly what Mark says. It was only after John was imprisoned and John's ministry was done that Jesus would appear. But when he comes, he comes into Galilee. But it says very clearly, he preaches the good news. You see, all John could do was bark at people. All John could do is bark at him and tell him, hey, you better clean up your life. But there was no power within it to change. When Jesus comes, now the power comes upon humanity. There is a power for change. But it is not a power that comes from us. It is a power that comes from God. And that's why it says, Jesus came. And now he began to preach the good news concerning the kingdom of God, that you do indeed have a king. And your king reigns over you. And your king reigns over you completely. Your king doesn't lack handling anything. He handles everything. So if your king tells you that he wants you to be saved, and if he tells you, you just come to me and I will save you, you tell me what he's going to do. Exactly. Exactly. And that's the gospel. See, the gospel, in all of its simplicity, is just this singular idea. You come to me, and I will receive you. I will receive you. I will bless you. And that's why Jesus told his disciples, I'm giving you the kingdom. Now, all you got to do is read about his disciples. You think they earned it? They were kind of bumblers, weren't they? They didn't earn that kingdom. Jesus gave it to them. And this is what Mark is emphasizing in his gospel. To understand that now, this is what we come to in this world. We come to this realization of our God who is the Lord and creator of all things, freely receives us for Jesus' sake. Exactly the same way that you just saw. He freely receives us. Freely. Freely. That's the hardest thing for us to get through our head. That it's free. That it's free. It's honestly free. If you ever took econ, you know the first lesson that you're taught, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody has to fix the food. Somebody has to grow it. Somebody's got to do all these sort of things. See, we don't believe in freedom. We don't believe in free. God does. God freely bestows his grace upon humanity. He freely just gives it. And to everyone who will come, he just says, here it is. Here it is. It's yours. And this is exactly what happens in this text. And Jesus then says and talks about this thing of John and understanding this improvement from the time of John. He says, now the time is fulfilled. He says, this is the time, right now, this is the time. And the kingdom of God has come to you. He says, it's come to you. He says, so now repent. But don't just repent. He says, repent and believe. Believe the gospel. Have trust in your God. Understand very clearly. Repent simply means to change your mind about God. That's what that Greek word means. It means to change your mind about God, to understand that God receives sinners. God receives people who are sinners. We don't clean up our life to find favor with God. That would be absurd, because guess what? We'd never be clean enough. We don't clean up to find favor with God. God cleans us up and gives us the favor. He says, come. He says, come. He says, repent. He says, and believe. Believe. Because it's yours. It's yours. And you see, this is what he was talking about. So that he went out and he says, so he goes out and he finds these guys, Simon and Andrew. They're casting nets in the sea because they're fishermen. He says very clearly, he says, you just come after me. He says, come after me. And that's the whole thing. Come after me. He says, come after me. He says, because I want you to fish for people. That's the calling of the church. It's the only one that we really have. The whole purpose of this entire organization is not to better ourselves. There's all sorts of other places you can go to better yourself. You can talk to Gwen. She can give you all kinds of exercises. The whole purpose of the church is the summons of God. It is to say that your God receives you. So come. Please come. We're just inviting you. We're telling you. I have people tell me all the time, well, I'm not worthy of it. And it's like, yeah. So welcome to the club. And then my other favorite is when people say, well, I can't go to church, it's full of hypocrites. And I always tell them, well, there's room for one more. The reality of things is that we simply come. We simply come. God's invitation is to simply come. I have people tell me all the time, well, I can't go to church because I did this thing, I did that thing, I did this thing like that. And I want to tell them, man, you want to whip out laundry lists? I got a ton. I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. You talk about this and that. I did all of this is and that. But God simply receives us for Jesus' sake. We simply hear him and we come. We come. And in miracle of miracles, he receives us. Have you ever read about who Jesus hung out with? He hung out with tax farmers who were considered to be the lowest of the low because they sold out all their neighbors to the Romans, basically. And he hung out with prostitutes. And he told his disciples to look and to see. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus receives all of those who will come to him. And he receives them freely because he loves them. And this is the reality of our place in the world. You see, what we've done too often is we've tried to be like some sort of cleansing station or something like that, where we're going to take care of the problems of the world. Let me tell you how many problems we've solved. Not many. Not any. And the only place that we really solve them is in the sauna, and that's only because we're too hot and we want to get out. The reality of things is we don't solve the problems. Jesus does. And he summons. And he says, you just bring him to me. You bring them to me. You be my little pointers. That's all you need to do. All you need to do is point. You point to me all the time. You show people me. And I'll receive them. I receive them. And it's interesting. It says immediately they gave up what they were doing and they followed him. Because they knew and they heard. That's the truth. That's really the deal. And it says when he gone a little further, he saw James, John, who we know from the scriptures very clearly as well, who were in the ship mending their nets. They were there with their dad. And he called them. And what did they do? They followed him. Because they heard that word and that truth and they came. And they received. And they became fishers. And guess what? The only reason why we're all here is because they were very good fishermen. Because they wrote all this stuff. You know, they're the guys that wrote all this stuff because they were the fishermen. And we all got caught. We all got received because God wanted us. And that's the thing that you have to understand. You know, none of us has any problem if we look at little Martin and we look at that little face and we look at that little face and we look at that and we say, oh, yeah, I can receive that. I can receive that. I can receive that. You go and you look at Big Marty. That's the same way God sees Big Marty too. And that's the same way God sees you. Same way. Doesn't matter. God receives us all freely for Christ's sake. God looks upon us all the same way God looks upon us all. As his very own children. And through the gospel, by the gospel, the glorious, beautiful gospel, he simply says, you come to me. You come to me. And I will give you rest. And that's what I want you to understand today. If you're struggling with the things of this world, if you're struggling with difficulties, if you have problems, and you think that somehow or another, you are not worthy. Don't believe that for a second. That's a lie that comes straight out of the pit of hell. Not only are you worthy of receiving this, but the blood of Jesus Christ is the seal and the guarantee of the fact that you are not only worthy, but you are counted worthy for Jesus' sake, and you are established as his own forever. So that you have this place of rest, not only in this earth, but also in the life to come. That you have eternal life. And you can count on it. You can count on it. People say there's only two things, you know, death and taxes. Guess what? Even both of those are not going to last forever. It's the word of God that abides forever. And the word of his truth that grants us that by the gospel of Jesus Christ, we abide forever as well. I got to tell you, that's the whole enchilada. It's really just that simple. It's we who complicate it. And what we need to understand is we just simply need to engage the world through Jesus the Christ. And people need to know, oh yes, you're free to come. You're free. You are free. You are beloved. And the peace of God reigns in your heart. Grant him that place. Trust in him. Because he will never, ever disappoint. Because he can't. And that's the truth of the gospel. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, how marvelous truly is your grace, and how wonderful your love for all of your children. And we pray, Father, even this day, that you would quicken us by your Holy Spirit in that same truth of the gospel. But Father, that we would draw near to you to receive that which you so freely give in abundance, and we would find that rest and that peace that will keep us in your care for eternity. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen that faith through the supper as we partake in it. That, Father, you would quicken us through that same spirit, through the body and blood of your Son. That, Father, renewed in that marvelous gift. So, Father, we would greet every day in the finished work of Jesus Christ, knowing, Father, that our sins are forgiven in his name and blood, and we have peace forever. Grant us these things, Father, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.